And now we move on to images of the past. President Theodore Roosevelt said his time in the Black Hills of South Dakota was one of the happiest of his life. He is the focus of this week's images segment. Joining us with insight is none other than our friend Gary Enright with the 1881 Courthouse Museum in Custer. Gary Enright, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Well, thank you so much. It's nice to be back after a little hiatus over the summer.
And how was your summer? I was out there in Custer, and I would use the word busy. There were lots of people out there. How was it?
We've had a record year at the museum this year, and they tell me at the Chamber of Commerce that they're about 15% higher than last year. So I think business is good out here.
So tell us a little bit about the museum overall. Let's give a brief overview so folks who haven't been inside the door know why it's worth it.
For those that haven't been here, this museum is housed in a 135-year-old building, which was the Custer County Courthouse from 1881 until 1974. And it has a multitude of displays. There are 15 separate displays in the building, all the way from a display that's devoted totally to General George Armstrong Custer, right down to what we call the Women's Work Is Never Done room. And that is that's a display of what kind of household equipment women used to have to work with back in the day.
Well, I'm reading right now Custer's Trials, which was a Pulitzer Prize-winning book. I'll be talking to T.J. Stiles, the author, at the book festival. I bet you'll have some things you can talk to me about that, too, when I finish. I'm not very far yet, so.
Okay, well, we have one of the oldest courtrooms in the state of South Dakota at the top floor of our building here, so we have a lot to do with justice and trials in South Dakota.
Let's go ahead and talk about Teddy Roosevelt. When you go online at sdpb.org/images of the past, you really see why this segment is called Images of the Past. There's some great photos. There's some video on many of these segments. Give me an idea, Gary, how Theodore Roosevelt sort of discovered the Black Hills.
Well, basically, he was born and raised on the East Coast, and he came or started out about as far from the Wild West as you could get in this country. But he actually came out here to do some touring and some hunting, because he was always a great hunter. And he went into southwestern North Dakota and northwestern South Dakota, into Wyoming and Montana. And he saw Yellowstone Park when it was still just a place to avoid back in the day. And he just fell in love with this part of the country. And he bought a little ranch up in Medora, North Dakota. And he made friends with a guy who was widely known in South Dakota, who was Seth Bullock. And he made friends with him and used to come down into the Black Hills and go hunting and do all kinds of things. He just absolutely loved the West.
Do we know what it was about South Dakota and the Black Hills at the time that really appealed to him? Is it just the same sort of thing that appeals to all of us?
I think so. I think he liked the beautiful scenery, first of all, and he liked the opportunity to ride horses, hunt elk and deer and bear and whatever he felt like hunting. And he was an avid hunter, and that was one of the things that attracted him. But he also liked the idea of being a rancher so that he could raise livestock and have horses and do all of the things that ranchers do. And he was able to afford to do this because he came from a fairly wealthy family. And so he just, it was hard for him to leave the Black Hills when he finally went back east to enter into politics.
So all this sort of occurs before he is president, correct?
Oh, yes, yes. And actually before he became widely known for being one of the Rough Riders during the Spanish-American War. And that's what took him away from the Black Hills and the Dakotas, was to go back east and volunteer with and recruit a group of soldiers, actually, who would fight against the Spanish down in Cuba. And he led this group called the Rough Riders, and that was kind of typical of who Teddy Roosevelt really was.
What do we know about how he took his experience here back with him in his political career? How did it impact the kind of president he was?
Well, I think it had a lot to do with the way he dealt with things. He used the presidency as a way to preserve and to become the great conservationist in this country. Among all of the presidents, he probably introduced more territory into the preservation of the wildlife and the beautiful scenery and the areas like Yellowstone and other beautiful areas of the West. And it influenced him to be cognizant of what a president could do in order to preserve these areas. And that had a lot to do with him. But one of the things he did, he got a hold of his friend Seth Bullock when he was elected, when he became president, and then was elected to his first term because he was vice president when President McKinley was killed, and he became the president. And then when he was reelected, he wanted to make a big to-do to show off his wonderful West. Mm-hmm. And so he got a hold of Seth Bullock and said, bring me a bunch of cowboys on their horses with their guns a-blazing and bring them to Washington, D.C. and be in my parade for the inaugural parade. And that's exactly what happened. These cowboys, about 50 cowboys from all over this part of the world, got together and they got on the train, they took their horses with them, and they went to Washington, D.C. to help celebrate Teddy Roosevelt's inauguration. But some funny things happened along the way. When they got to Washington, D.C., the Secret Service said there will be no shooting of guns during the parade. And so that took all the fun out of it. But in fact, they were toned down just a little bit. And the other thing about this that happened was that about 90% of the cowboys that went to Washington and the New York area sold their horses, their saddles, and even their guns to people who wanted souvenirs of the West.
Oh.
And so they came back on a train empty-handed except for a lot of money.
Oh, my.
They charged quite a bit for whatever they sold them. But it was a rare opportunity, and these cowboys took advantage of it and gained financially. So,
Gary Enright, it is always a pleasure to hear your stories. Go online and look those photos, sdpb.org, Images of the Past. Gary, thank you so much for joining us.
I just love being on with you. Take care.
We'll see you next time.